Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, Singapore has retained its number one position for the second year in a row in the Institute for Management Development's analysis of global economies and their ability to generate prosperity. With the exception of Singapore, Philippines, Taiwan, and the Korean Republic, most Asian economies dropped in rankings this year. IMD just released the results of their IMD World Competitiveness Ranking 2020, and we speak to the chief economist at IMD, Professor Arturo Briss, to get his insights. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you so much for asking. And yourself, hope you're keeping well where you are?
Perfectly fine. You know, in Switzerland, coming out of confinement.
That's excellent news. Congratulations. So let's dive into the numbers, if you will, and Singapore's rise to and retention of the number one spot. You say it's largely driven by the relative ease of setting up business here, the availability of skilled labor, cutting-edge technology and such. However, COVID-19 has exposed certain deficiencies like skills gaps when it comes to effecting accelerated digital transformation, which is such a necessity now. So looking at Singapore, say, through the lens of COVID-19, using the same markers of competitiveness, Professor, how would we measure up then?
Well, you know, it is difficult to, in our rankings this year, to measure the impact of COVID-19 because obviously this has happened very recently. And some of our data variables come from 2019. I think Singapore shows an amazing resilience to this type of crisis because it's a small country. And it's a small country where policies can be implemented effectively, where consensus is easy to achieve, and where at the end of the day, you know, the fight against the pandemic is more effective, relatively speaking, than in other countries. And that's what you observe, that most, if not all of the countries that top the ranking this year are small economies.
So you folks at the IMD also say that the benefit of small economies in these kinds of crises comes from our ability to fight a pandemic and from our economic competitiveness, in part maybe fed by the fact that it's easy to find social consensus, for example. However, the interconnectedness of global economies today, big and small, how far then can any one economy, no matter how competitive, thrive?
That is correct. And again, among all of these small economies, including Singapore, one common characteristic is that being small, they are massively exposed to the foreign markets. And that's definitely the weakness in the current times in which the pandemic has shown the difficulties of connectivity and being exposed to other economies. I think in that regard, however, it is going to help for Singapore the fact that the domestic market can be resilient as well. And I think that the institutions as well as the infrastructure in the country can help the economy recover from within.
Right. Also, a marker of competitiveness is international trade and investment. The pandemic, though, with its impact on global supply chains, has caused support for globalization to decline in some quarters. So considering this, though, Professor, to what extent should the current markers of competitiveness maybe be recalibrated for maybe your next year's survey?
Yes, that's interesting. And that's a very good point, because I think the trend towards the deglobalization has been enhanced by the pandemic. And as countries are more inward-looking, the impact of global trade is lesser. But I must say that, especially because of that, we think that competitiveness, that is, the ability of nations to generate prosperity, is now more important than ever. And focusing on the domestic policies that target people and small and medium enterprises, that reform institutions, that pass on regulation that tries to help people to have favorable fiscal rules, or attraction of talent or foreign capital in the country, are going to be more important than ever. These are all of the recipes that, at the end of the day, encompass what we call the competitiveness of a nation. So I think that for Singapore, it's going in both directions. I mean, being more competitive will help the country emerge better from the crisis. But at the same time, the crisis is going to emphasize the importance of these domestic factors.
So these new factors, domestic or otherwise, do you think they should determine competitiveness in the post-pandemic world, be included? Because as things evolve, business, work and lifestyles as a whole could change permanently.
Yes, exactly. For example, the ability to what we can readapt our global supply chains to a more domestic supply chains. The ability for some countries or for countries to rely on domestic suppliers relative to foreign suppliers, the ability of economies to rely on domestic markets relative to foreign markets. And in that sense, I think being small can help and can be a problem, obviously. Mm. But in that ability, I think is where the future of competitiveness for countries is going to lie upon.
Yeah. Let's talk about the pandemic having this global effect on some of the two largest economies in the world, in fact, the two superpowers, who are also distracted by their trade skirmishes and posturing. How are they going to be moving forward? The United States has dropped some again in this year's competitiveness
yes.
report.
I think it's a highlight of this year, the fact that the United States is, for the first time in many decades, if I may even 20 years, is not in the top five on our competitive list. And I think this derives from a combination of factors. Obviously, as you mentioned, the deglobalization, in which the United States becomes a less important economy, especially compared to China. Second, the social fragmentation in the country, and obviously all of the problems that we have seen. And finally, the pandemic itself, which is taking a toll in a country with a deficient health system.
And
I think it's going to be hard for the US to come out of this crisis because it still needs to resolve its short-term problems. And its short-term problems have to do with the political instability, the outcome of the upcoming election, and the future of the country in the next months. After that, I think it will be possible to focus on long-term reforms. But I think currently the US is in a very uncertain situation.
At the risk of simplifying, would you say China's coming out of it less affected, so to speak?
Remember also that China has dropped in our rankings this year. Mm. Also, for the first time in a period of 5 years, China was skyrocketing our ranking of competitiveness, and this year has dropped by 4 positions. And I think, again, it has to do primarily with the trade war. The trade war has been more damaging for China than for the US. Everybody agrees on that. And China is realizing that it relies on overseas markets to a great extent, and at the same time, those markets are going to be closed for some time because of the pandemic. Mm. So China, in some sense, has fared better out of the pandemic, but has suffered as well in its competitiveness ranking.
Again, because of the interconnectedness.
Yes, correct. Correct. In China, I think that the effect of the pandemic has been lesser because it fought it earlier. But if you look at the macro figures of 2019, actually they are along the same lines as in the US. And in particular, as you mentioned, in regards to global trade, the Chinese position has deteriorated.
So closer to home and similar in stature, I suppose, Hong Kong has held up relatively well despite the pandemic's onslaught. Mm-hmm. How much, though, will political issues affect it going forward? We've got China sort of sticking its fingers into the geopolitical scene in Hong Kong.
Yes, significantly. I mean, the drop of Hong Kong to the fifth position is primarily driven by the social turmoil that has happened in the country, not only this year, but also in the past year. And the perception that the economy of Hong Kong is more unstable than ever before. And I suspect that next year is going to be even worse because some of the recent events, and in particular Chinese and American position vis-a-vis its status, is not picked at all in our rankings this year. And I think this is going to be much more detrimental to business sentiment in the country. Of course, Hong Kong continues with the right institutional approach, very strong government, very much focused on business development, but the political uncertainty and its dependence on China, politically and economically, is definitely, I think, killing the Hong Kong miracle somehow, at least for the next years.
So it's not just being a small economy that's going to help. You've got to have that sound politics as well.
Correct. You need to have the right institutions, inclusive policies, and a vision and a strategy that has to be implemented in the long term. This, of course, requires that you need to remove any potential uncertainty regarding the execution of such a strategy. Mm. In that regard, countries like Switzerland, Singapore, Denmark, that top the rankings this year, are role models. And that's what I think the secret of Singapore is in its ability to implement and execute and formulate strategic choices and policies that are long-lasting. and the credibility that it provides to the rest of the world that these policies will be successful.
Professor, what do you think will be the biggest factor, say, in affecting next year's result? We know the pandemic, of course, and what other sorts of things might factor in, you reckon?
Yes, this is a very strange crisis because it's not a financial crisis that results in an economic crisis. It's an economic crisis from the beginning, in that there was a sudden stop to our economy. So to me, what is going to determine the rankings next year is the response of our governments to the current crisis and the current recession and the recipes that they put forward. That is, the way how governments are going to help people, the way how governments are going to help small and medium enterprises, and the way how governments are going to collaborate with the private sector to make sure that we come out of this crisis healthier. Not than before, but at least healthier than what we are. And that difference across countries in policies and choices is going to mark also the differences in the rankings.
Professor Arturo Briss, Chief Economist at IMD. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today and stay safe, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.